Hi, everyone. It's Todd Bishop sharing a conversation I had with Mike Lewis, host of Cairo Radio Nights, about a story I wrote this week about Amazon and my hometown of Orland, California.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I was talking about this particular story in GeekWire earlier in the show, and now we've got, and joining us in just a second is Todd Bishop, the co-founder of GeekWire, who is the not only the writer of this story, but kind of a subject of the story. And what the story is about is, I'll let Todd get into it more in more detail, but what happens when your little hometown becomes essentially a company town for the biggest online retailer in the world? Todd Bishop, thank you for joining Cairo Nights.
Absolutely, Mike. I think one California native to another, I thought I just had to share this story with you.
And you're from, for those of you who don't know, you're from Orland, California, which is a couple hours north of Sacramento. It is a small town. I got to say, before we get into the story about this giant online retailer that you're semi-familiar with, I didn't know until I saw the photo that Orland also has an arch, just like further south in the Central Valley, Modesto has a town arch. I think there are a lot of town arches down there. The motto of Modesto is water, wealth, contentment, health. The weird thing is it has none of those. And so I thought that at least Orland just put Orland. And I thought, all right, well, it's got that. But apparently it has so much more now. Tell us about the story.
Well, as you know, Mike, I've been covering Amazon for many years up here in Seattle as a business and tech reporter. I grew up in Orland, California. I worked at the olive plant in the summers. You know, the almond orchards are, you know, in my blood, the way they say almonds down there. I heard from my parents on the phone about a month ago that there were rumors that Amazon was going to be putting a distribution center in Orland. And so I basically dropped everything, went into full investigative reporter mode, and figured out what was going on. It was such a kick in the pants. I got to make public records requests to, you know, city officials in the town where I grew up. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And what I found was actually an even bigger story just than Amazon being in my hometown. Amazon is extending its distribution network, the delivery of Amazon packages by Amazon facilities and trucks into rural parts of the country. So they've been focusing largely on cities and suburbs. And this project represents, and analysts also told me, that the company is increasingly going to be filling out its distribution infrastructure into the heartland, in some respects to replace or largely supplement UPS and the U.S. Postal Service, and potentially, although Amazon won't admit it, down the road, be able to deliver all of its packages and other people's packages.
That is one of the things, in fact, that I've been reading about, that everyone has said this is where Amazon is headed down this path of, not just everyone thinks of it competing with FedEx and UPS, but it's actually, I mean, its bigger plans could be a full-on competition with the U.S. or takeover of essentially the USPS. Is that correct?
Possibly. Now, that this part is pure speculation, but it seems to be the general trajectory they're headed in. For the time being, what they're doing is simply making sure that these delivery stations, these hubs that do the last mile, as they say, will be into rural parts of the country, not just in the metropolitan areas. And that's really notable. And as I found when I talked to folks in Orland, this is really a shock, in part because a lot of the tactics, or the business practices, Amazon calls them, that the company uses, they're common in business dealings, in big city dealings. People might not notice them, but the secrecy that Amazon uses, the non-disclosure agreements, they do not fly in all of country like they would in more populated parts of the country where people might not even be paying this much attention. The secrecy that Amazon used just did not go over well with a lot of Orland residents. As I said, transparency breeds trust in these places.
Absolutely. So we're talking with Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire and longtime tech reporter who has focused on Amazon for years. Let's talk a little bit about the secrecy. I loved the top of the story where you talk about how Amazon started making a major play in town while not actually disclosing that it was Amazon. Talk a little bit about that.
They reached a non-disclosure agreement with the owner of one of the buildings at an industrial park southeast of town, Hague Field, and it's been largely empty. And the county heard that this unnamed company was going to be coming into this space potentially. And there was a lot of wink-wink, but they did not know officially that it was Amazon. And they gave economic incentives to the building owner to create these jobs, essentially. They gave a small, relatively small, but, you know, in a town like this, in a county like this, even small economic incentives in the form of rent reductions are meaningful to the building owner to help offset the costs of the renovations that they would need to make to bring Amazon into this facility without knowing that it was Amazon, without knowing the name of the company, which it's, you know, these kinds of agreements are common in business, but for a governmental agency to make a leap of faith like that, especially in a rural community, and that's what's different here. Things are supposed to be known. You know, everybody in town is supposed to know what's going on, and it was a shock to people here that they didn't know what was going on, didn't get to participate in the planning process until Amazon announced it publicly.
So tell us a little bit about, before we get into more about this and Amazon's push into rural America, which apparently this is not just Orland, but it's everywhere. What is Orland like? I mean, is there going to be when Amazon sets up shop there, and I don't know if we know yet the size of the distribution center, but when it sets up shop there, is it immediately going to be potentially the largest employer in the area?
It will not be the largest immediately, but it will be one of the largest. They are announcing plans for up to 150 Amazon employees initially, but that actually understates the number. In addition to the direct Amazon employees, this hub, which is about 75,000 square feet, will also be home to independent delivery service partner companies. And what those are is companies that create their own businesses, entrepreneurs that create their own businesses under an Amazon program called Delivery Service Partners, hire their own employees to drive Amazon packages. So there could be and likely will be hundreds of potential employees here. And when you start getting into the 300-400 range, then yes, especially when you're talking about private employers, Amazon would become one of, if not the largest employer in the city and potentially the county.
We're talking with Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire, and his story about when Amazon is right now in the process of setting up in Todd's small hometown in far northern California. All right, Todd, so this is part of, and I think you reference this in the story, Amazon's push into rural America. Talk about that and how Amazon is setting up shop in a lot of Orlands everywhere else in the United States.
That's right. Orland is one of the first, but really, there are these large swaths of the country outside of major metro areas, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, where Amazon solely still relies on the U.S. Postal Service and UPS, New Mexico, Nevada, West Virginia, Missouri, all these places across the country where Amazon does not yet have its own homegrown delivery infrastructure. And this all started back in 2013. I don't know if folks remember this, but there were the severe winter storms on the East Coast. A lot of Christmas packages were delayed, even though Amazon had promised that they would be there on time under the tree. That was when Amazon said, no more. They are no longer going to rely solely on these other companies to deliver their packages. They started building out their own infrastructure. They've really done that so far in these big cities and suburbs, and now they're headed out to the rest of the country to fill in the hinterland, as one of the analysts I spoke with said.
And so in a town like Orland, and I would imagine, again, like small rural towns all over the place, it probably could use a big boost in jobs. Are people in town, how are they greeting the arrival of Amazon? Is it a mixed bag of super enthusiasm? I mean, let me actually back that up. If we were to talk to Todd Bishop, you know, media mogul here in Seattle, he might have a different sort of analysis of it than Todd Bishop, 18-year-old, who can maybe stop picking olives and get a delivery job in Orland. I mean, how would each Todd answer this question?
Well, I talked with a 17-year-old kid named Nick Darling, who is an Orland High School senior. And let me tell you, I did not work like this kid when I was 17. I worked hard, but I asked him, he is planning to apply after he graduates at this delivery station. And I asked him, what's the appeal? And he said, it's better than manual labor. And I said,
does he?
I said, a lot of people would consider the lifting of boxes, sorting, stacking inside an Amazon delivery center manual labor. And then he described for me what he does out on the farm and on construction sites and the three truckloads full of gravel that he unloaded the prior day. I mean, type of job in an enclosed facility, air conditioned in the summer, for $15 an hour, $1 an hour more than the current minimum wage in California for large employers, starting at 15. And then the career advancement. So there is a lot of enthusiasm among people who could potentially work at these places. There's a lot of enthusiasm among city leaders, economic development folks. There is not a lot of enthusiasm from the guy who lives about 100 yards away across the street, who had no idea that he was going to have 200 vehicles a day, essentially, driving by his house.
Right. And my assumption is that right now, now that everyone knows that, he is not, it's not exactly going to enhance his property value, unless, of course, I guess Amazon expands and devours up his property. So is that really the kind of split in places like this? People who have an established life that they don't want disrupted, as opposed to the people who are beginning or are looking to improve their life in some way by, you know, hitching on to the Amazon wagon.
To some extent, yes, that is the black and white. There is, however, a lot of shades of gray. Just as an example, I talked with a member of the Orland Chamber of Commerce board, and she really, I think, personified the mix of feelings. This is Carolyn Pendergrass, who is an entrepreneur in town, runs a business where you can do everything from ship packages to have your emails printed off to have accounting services done. She is a little bit mistrusting of big tech. She feels like it has a lot of power that she's not entirely comfortable with, like a lot of people, including folks in Seattle, feel. At the same time, she is very much optimistic and hopeful about the economic development and the idea of having a large employer in town. She also basically, I think, has a litmus test. She didn't call it this, but Amazon, if they join the chamber and using that as a representation of engaging with the community, participating in the community, they will have won her over, I think. And to me, that's the real difference here. It's the one-on-one interactions. It's the small town values, for better or worse. And the notion that the people who succeed in a place like this are the ones who come in, tell you what they're doing, don't overpromise, don't underdeliver. They're transparent and they follow through. And I think that doesn't scale. I think that's the problem. What scales is coming in under the radar, not telling folks what you're doing until you've got your plan in place, and then just hoping that you can ride it out until you get your building open. And folks are going to be okay with that. And that, to me, is the fascinating conflict that's happening in Orland and will happen throughout America.
So let's talk about it. We're talking with Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire, and his story today about when that Amazon has, I think because Todd is the co-founder of GeekWire, Amazon specifically targeted Todd's hometown for a distribution center. Todd, and this is what, that's actually, I'm sticking with that story. Todd, not that you don't know this from growing up there, and I've been to Orland, it's a lovely place, but What's Orland's appeal to Amazon? I mean, what is Amazon looking for when it goes to Orland?
Yeah.
This site is about 3 miles from Interstate 5. It's smack in the middle of the northern Sacramento Valley, true Northern California. Because, you know, Mike, when people call San Francisco Northern California, they're just delusional. No. It is location, location, location. I think the fact that this facility was already constructed. This is a renovation. It's not a new building. It was zoned for industrial use, an accepted use that they were coming in on. So that meant they didn't have to have public hearings. I think it was a perfect storm that led Amazon to Hegfield Airport and this industrial park.
And do you think that they are going to now, I mean, are they talking about wanting to expand the airport into something where they can get larger aircraft in and out? I would assume that Orleans Airport is relatively small, and I think that's a safe assumption. And I mean, is this something that people in town are worried about? Like, how big do they want to get in Orland?
Yeah, so first off, I asked the same question of the folks at Amazon, and no, they do not plan to use Hegfield. If you saw Hegfield, Mike, you realize, well, I was laughing. There's no control tower. It's basically a strip of dirt with the sewer ponds on one side and the Amazon warehouse on the other and a bunch of olive and almond orchards. I have to stop myself and say it the right way or the way everybody else says it
right.
On the other side. So, but to your point, there is a lot of room for expansion at that industrial park. And one of the things I found in the public records that I had so much fun digging into was a provision for the owner of the building to eventually take more land, or at least have the option of taking more land. In fact, significantly more land, about twice as much as Amazon already occupies. And they won't say who that would be for, but I can't imagine who else it would be for unless they've got another trick up their sleeve. So there is the potential that Daryl Schnauer, who lives across the street, might be having significantly more than 200 vehicle trips a day going past his house at some point in the future.
All right, Todd. We're talking to Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire, and his story on Amazon expanding into Todd's hometown of Orland, California, a small town in Northern California. All right, Todd, final question then. And this is one of the things that I think is really interesting about Amazon, because Amazon is sort of in that mature phase now where it's figuring out it doesn't have to have every fight. It can find ways through and develop influence in a variety of ways. And one of those ways, I'm told, is that Amazon is now, with it expanding its idea of distribution centers everywhere, that doesn't just come with, you know, a greater ease of distributing product. It also puts you in sort of in a level of political leverage in all kinds of places, in places like Orland and in other places where Amazon comes in and becomes one of the big employers. I mean, is that one of the things that you know, Amazon is also, is that a collateral, I guess, benefit to Amazon? Is that when it expands its footprint, it also expands its political reach as well?
Potentially. Although if you look at the difference in the voting patterns in a place like Orland and a place like Seattle, I did not explore that question in this story. I do plan to continue to follow this. I think it's a fascinating case study, but the question you just asked, Mike, is very interesting. I do not know the answer to that, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I do know that there's a very big difference between the politics in Amazon's hometown and the politics in my hometown.
Oh, yeah. About as big as one can be.
And I wonder how that's going to play long term.
That is Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire. His story entitled Amazon Arrives in Rural America, Tech Giant Delivers Hope and Concern to a California Town. Todd, it was a dynamite story. And thanks again for joining us on Cairo Nights.
Thank you, Mike.
More Cairo Nights right after the break.
Thanks to Mike Lewis for the conversation. You can hear him on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM in Seattle, and read my story at geekwire.com/Amazon in Orland.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.